Blog Talk Radio.
Liquid Damage, and it's set Friday night, and we're here to have some fun. And that was D.W. Prophet playing his guitar, Blondie. And what an amazing instrumental that was, Dave. You have definitely melded the guitar man configuration. What a fantastic job you have done here. Great accomplishment. I mean, really, that was like rocking. You blew it out of the studio, dude. Thank you for your contribution to the show tonight.
It's my pleasure.
So, yeah, we have Dave Prophet here and Deb. Deb is here.
Hello.
And I'm here. Hello, Deb.
Hi, Deb.
We had a little glitch. So we might not get some people till.
Yeah, well, all the Fridays are set for 11, and I didn't even think about changing it until I went to log in with you, and I was like, no. So no biggie. Sorry about that.
Okay. So from now on, should I just make my show at 7 instead of 6?
Your show goes live when you want it to. It used to be 11. They're all set for 11, but they change at the flick of a button, so you decide. Whatever works for you is how
okay.
it goes.
Yeah, 6 is better because then I get done early enough to have a dinner at a decent hour.
It's 6 o'clock there right now? I didn't realize you were 4 hours behind us.
Hours.
Like I said, it's perfectly fine. They were just all preset in the pre-made episodes, that's all. Not a problem.
Okay. All right, well, we're here, and everything's okay. And I have a joke. What does a frog do when he gets a flat tire?
I don't know.
He gets towed. Come on, guys. All right. We got some good poetry here, too. But I'm wondering where we should start this. Deb, you want to start it off?
Sure, I can do that. And in the meantime, I also figured I'd mention that you have like 5 or 6 audios that I added for you. So that's awesome. And I'm grabbing my poem as I speak so I can put it on the board. And I'll put the links on for you or whatever you need until I have to go. And then Hatter will be here, but I don't know if he'll be able to help with the links, but if he can't, I'm sure Dave can help you while he's here. You can copy and paste the link, right, Dave?
What's that?
You know how to copy and paste the link onto the chat wall, don't you?
Yeah.
Cool, okay.
I can do
just
that.
In case you need help. And by the way, right before I read, Dave, that was a really, really awesome guitar solo, and I got to watch it on the YouTube as I downloaded it and whatnot, and I see why you call the guitar Blondie. It's a beautiful light wood. You were sitting there strumming away. You did a brilliant job, and it was cool to hear it at the intro.
Well, thank you for playing it, Deborah. I appreciate that very much.
Yeah, it was truly awesome, Dave.
Thank you.
I had no idea you were that adept at playing the guitar, but, yeah, blew me away.
Well,
blew
I've been doing it for over 40 years. I should be
Quiet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I kind of goes along with my poem tonight.
Self-taught?
Yes, ma'am. Yeah.
Wow.
That's amazing. Yeah.
Well, amazing. I got a double dose of it because my mother and my father were both musical, and so it kind of rubbed off on me, I suppose.
Yeah.
Kind of jealous.
Mm-hmm.
How about you, Lynn? I wish I could play. Okay.
Well,
yeah, me too.
My poem is on the board. And the prompt was the song by Foreigner, Head Games. And the title is actually a little piece of one of the lyrics, and it's Till I Can't Take It Anymore.
I love
Tug
Foreigner.
Tug of War's not Candyland. And chess pieces reposition as the king fights his queen. And checkerboard locomotion spinning heads in the game. from constellations, freckling the sky view, blinking game over in dots and dashes, the ebony horizon waves a red flag moon. Lines are drawn in the amber sand, marking out the boundaries for battles, all just for playing the head games. From smiling eyes with lies-covered alibis, we talk, then fight and scream and not talk, then slam all the doors to just run, not walk. From the darkness and into the daylight, my brains are daydreaming of you now, over and over again and again, but we pass each other by because we don't know what to say. Now, I can't take it anymore. And poem.
That was great.
Wow. Yeah, Deb. That was awesome. You kind of encapsulated this argument type situation into beautiful words, and I loved it. From constellations freckling the sky view, blinking game over in dots and dashes, the ebony horizon waves a red flag moon. Brilliant words from a brilliant poet. I loved it. Dave,
aww,
what did you think? David?
Oh, I'm sorry. Sometimes I don't hear real well. I thought this was really good. I really liked it. I liked the second stanza. That stuck out to me a little. From constellations freckling the sky view, blinking game over in dots and dashes. That's cool. The ebony horizon waves, a red flag moon. That's really a neat stanza right in there. It says a lot, you know. From smiling eyes with lies covered alibi. That line there is really cool because it's almost a tongue twister to me. We talk, then fight and scream and not talk, then slam all the doors just to run, not walk. That's pretty cool. That's really nice, Deb. I like this. The whole poem was really outstanding. Really, really colorful. Very interesting the way you worded it and all of the things that you put into it. My brains are daydreaming of you now over and over again, then again, but we pass each other by because we don't know what to say. I think we've kind of been in that situation, most of us, if you've had any kind of few relationships at all. You know, it's I always like the way Foreigner put their stuff too. They seem to sum up what they're trying to say real well, and they put it out there, and you can get it. You don't have to have a translator to understand it. You know, it's pretty straightforward, and that's the way Deb's work is. I love reading their stuff. I always come away with some sort of inspiration one way or the other after I'm looked at her poetry. So way to go, Deborah. Very nice. Very nice.
Thank you, David.
Yeah,
Foreigner's one of my favorites.
Very nice.
It was cool to write to their song.
Yeah, I bet.
Well,
I bet it would be. Very well done.
Great job. All righty. Let me see here. Parallel lines have so much in common. Too bad they're never going to meet.
Ha ha ha.
I was waiting for somebody to laugh. How do trees access the internet?
Oh.
They log in?
They log in. Yay. Give the prize to the lady. Very good. Very good. Okay. Now, next, I thought we'd do a SoundCloud from Kay and see if I do this right.
He isn't. from my summer place. Okay. Washtub basins, metallic enameled youth, daisies in repose, sepal to lilts and wrinkling, who twinkle upon glistening, dewdrops kissing their petals, carnations of baby pink, powder to blush and faint brushings of mauve, buttery soft and silk, are the roses fashioned to goldenrod, purple-green are the blues in the garden, vein in the ground coverings of vinery, gilded to bloom, not to weep in yesteryears, rocks of hibiscus, shelter in their coral of bells, hollyhocks, the courtins, mended to last, end poem.
Well, beautiful, Kay. That was absolutely stunning. What a beautiful place she must have in the summer. This denotes such beauty with fragrant undertones that form together a lovely tapestry of light and warmth. I just felt at home when I read these lines. Buttery, soft, and silk are the roses fashioned to goldenrod. Purple-green are the blues in the gold garden veining the ground coverings of vinery glided to bloom. This was such a lovely poem. Thank you, Kay, for sending it over. And thank you, Deb, for SoundClouding it for me. It's beautiful. Dave, what did you think?
Well, this is a beautiful write. It's very picturesque, you know. I can picture all of those flowers because I've seen them all. They're you know, washtub basins of metallic enameled youth. That's really a cool way to start this, I think. I like that opening line there. Daisies in repose. That's cool. Supple to lilts in wrinkling through the twinkle pond glistening, dewdrops kissing their petals, carnations of baby pink. You know, if you look at carnations, a lot of carnations are either blue or they're pink, it seems like, or white maybe. And most of the carnations are just about a baby pink, you know, or a lot of them are, the pink ones are anyhow. You know, frocks of hibiscus sheltering their coral of bells, hollyhocks, the courting mended to last. You know, a lot of those are wildflowers, you know, and sometimes I kind of think that the wildflowers are the prettiest type of flower that there is, you know, foxgloves and one of those other ones there. There's a whole bunch of them, especially up here in the mountains. Their altitude affects who they are. But no, this was really beautiful, really a beautiful write. It was interesting and really lovely the way Kay has a really nice way of expressing herself. And he did a good job reading this too. So well done, Kay. Beautiful poem.
Yeah. Deb, what did you think?
Yeah, I liked it a lot. I love her title, Musings from My Summer Place. And she has a great reading voice, so she pulls you in to her recording as she goes on. And I think that you look at the photo that she wrote to, and I mean, I could literally see her sitting there, even with the hat, reading the book in the middle of her garden, surrounded by some amazing and beautiful flowers, the goldenrod and the carnations and the purple greens and the blues. I mean, she painted a vivid picture of her surroundings there, and it's, she made it such an inviting place between the descriptions and her voice as she read that, I mean, I kind of want to go sit there and chill and inhale some of the scents. And I think that's the first time I remember hearing hollyhocks in a poem, but I kind of like that word, just saying. Great brevity.
Yeah. Right on. Let's see. Let's welcome 614. Who's calling, 614?
Hi, Linda. How are you?
Hi.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm very well. How are you?
I'm good. I'm glad you made it.
I was late, but I got here eventually. Yes.
Yeah. We had kind of a glitch on the time clock, but it's all fixed now. Deb jumped in there and fixed it just like Superman.
Yeah, Deb does that.
Excuse me, that's Superwoman. Just saying.
Superwoman. Sorry. Good job. Well, AP's here now. The party can begin.
I hope so.
let's see. I think we should do another SoundCloud. This one is from Musket Man, and he does really fine work. And let me pull this up first. So you want to hear the sweetest thing?
Sure.
Yes.
Me and my husband have been sleeping on the couch for a year now because of my wheelchair, and I've been on the couch so I could prop my foot and everything. And yesterday he spent the last week pulling the bed up from upstairs down to the downstairs bedroom and putting my bedroom together, and he brought me a dozen long-stem red roses today to celebrate our back-in-the-bedroom night. So I thought that was very sweet.
Very sweet.
Yeah. Okay, my computer is not functioning. I wonder what's the matter. There we go. Huh. Where's Musket Man? I cannot find. Here we go. Let's get Man.
It's the third one.
Oh, Lord. Yeah, I see it. But I'm having... Okay. I'm having just,
go.
I got it copied. Oh, you got it. Okay. This is called Musket Man. Let me get over to the...
Drink Hatter.
Okay, here we go.
Paul, a soldier rising up the ranks, a priest until the war, giving thanks. Always a hearty laugh, plying pranks. Died in Atlanta along Flint River's banks. Samuel, a captain in the Georgia 53rd, a man of honor, man of his word, was a sheriff, then war occurred, killed in Virginia, still there, interred. Kellett, buried by a road in Fayetteville, loved to write, master of the quill, fought as a rebel, loved to drill, slain by a bayonet on Baldwin's Hill. Drury loved women, song, and wine. With the Masons, he wanted to align. Built muskets of his own design. End came from a cannonball's whine. Wiley loved to roam among the trees. Wanted to sail ocean's high seas. Drew pictures of lovely wife Louise. Met his death at the Battle of Cross Keys. Josiah read the Bible, knew every verse. Stories of faith he would immerse. A sergeant in the Virginia 21st. typhoid fever would be his curse. We all have lives we spend. At our funeral, family, friends attend. Helpful hands they will extend, but we're all just stories in the end.
Wow. Awesome, right? This was so poignant and heartfelt. Each verse spoke so much, like a small little story. And the imagery in this was strong and overwhelming, and it made me want to hear more. What a time the Civil War was. Such death, and not just by gun, but the disease as well. There was so much death in the hospitals alone, just from the disease, from infection, but also cholera and diphtheria and all the other fine diseases that were running rampant in those days. But interesting history lesson I found. I found it to be lovely. Anyway, Dave, what did you think?
Well, I really like this. I have some relation that were in the Civil Wars. If you go up to this old Pioneer Cemetery up above Estacada in the mountains, you could find it, and it's fascinating. And this poem reminded me of them, because there's a lot of times these gravestones will have a little bit of a history on them, how the person died, or what company they were in when they died, and this sort of reminded me of that, I like guns too, but this was really a neat poem. I like the way he did it. Little history of each person here. That's really neat. It was really an interesting poem, and rhyming was really well done too. So it was a good job. I liked it.
AP, what did you think?
Yeah, well, Muscatan can, we know, can write an excellent poem. He's chosen this time to do little vignettes that were all, rhymed within their own stanza. And it's kind of neat, because it's almost like he's working his way through a company that are no longer with us anymore. And I think, he very much sees his role as a poet to highlight these stories that have been long lost, and I'm just glad somebody's doing it.
Yeah, beautifully said. Hatter.
Yes.
What did you think of this lovely poem?
he writes so well. And if we didn't have the recording to listen to, I think it would have been less of a poem. The way he narrates it is, and the music in the background just escalates everything. It also sort of de-romanticizes war, like it used to be, and shows that every soldier had a mother and every soldier was a son,
Right. Well said. Deb.
Yeah, I agree with everybody as far as the how they're broken up, like little tribute snippets to each of the soldier lost, the military person. And he put such care and respect and detail into this collection. And I really, there was a tool such as his collection where we got to listen to him present some of these things that he does. It might have caught a lot more interest in kids when being taught history. he's just really great at his presentation. And I think that, I don't know, I think that they're being lost if he can't find a school to run them, and that it's something that he might want to send an email to some of the history teachers around him because he's that good at it. And it's a 10.
Yeah. Yeah. Good comment, Deb.
And a multi-award winner. Very well done.
Wow. Wow.
Okay. All right, Steelheart, I have to beat feet. I double-checked. There's every SoundCloud that was offered, or every sound clip that was offered to you is in your studio. I sent a few things in your inbox, so just get back to me on those. And on that note, I'm out of here. Love and respect.
Bye, Dave.
See you,
Dave. Love and respect, Deb. All righty. AP, did you bring a piece?
I've always got a piece if you want one. Linda, I've tried to get this never too far away.
Very funny.
You can do that. It's better. I better do a rhyming one since Hat is here. So you know, otherwise you'd get upset with me. So this is a rhyming poem called "Sparks and Sandstone Foam." And it goes a little bit like this: the lime green meadows, grass, fluorescent tails of cattle to ocean, swishing they stand. Deep baying echoes in ascent. Salt water entwines me within sand. Waves boom as waters descend over islands, rock thrones of penguins and seals mould. Storm the jewelling green strands. Upon me a lighthouse sweeps cold. Cypress dark, shadow blinding, sparks blink in sandstone foam. Dissolves the heat reminding. Guide, I'm near home. I'm standing within a cemetery, gales in the scent, pot uncovered, a casket returns to land. Keening of gulls echo consent, breeze pries and wrecks as fan. Darkness grips tight these silky fern lands, shivers overtaking within grief unfold. Darker shadows of pine stands, upon me a lighthouse sweeps gold. Dark cypress shadow blinding blink sparks in sandstone foam. Dissolves the heat reminding, my guide, I'm near home. End poem.
Wow. That was beautiful. My goodness. I love how you wrote to the prompt. It's just so excellent. AP, your words here are just wonderfully written, and I love the line, upon me a lighthouse sweeps gold. Lighthouses are one of my favorite things. I just love to look at pictures of them and see them in person as well, but that doesn't happen very often. Lighthouses are just like a pinnacle part of the sea, and the duty that they do, guiding ships, you know, away from rocks and the, telling them where the shoreline's at is an amazing task that they accomplish. But this poem was so well written. Your words are beautiful. Your imagery is like outstanding, and it was just an excellent write from an excellent writer. I thank you very much for sharing this, AP. Let's get you some comments. Hatter, what did you think?
Yeah, I'm trying to see, is this a form?
No, it's not. No, it's not, Hatter. I'll tell you the story. If you look left from the lighthouse, you can see in the distance my family's old farm, and that's the first bit.
Oh.
You look to the right,
really?
You can see the cemetery. And so, yeah, my family ended up in the cemetery to the right. If you look right, if you look left, that's where the farmland is and where their farm was. Yeah. So, and so if you look at the whole poem, it's in two parts. The left is the first three stanzas, and it completely rhymes exactly with the right, which is the second three stanzas. So you look left, you look right, and they have the same rhyme pattern and cadence, but you're just looking different directions.
Incredible.
Wow.
Nicely done.
That's intense.
I like the last stanza.
Cool.
Dark cypress, shadow blind, blink sparks in sandstone foam. Dissolves the heat, reminding my guide I'm your home.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Thanks, Hatter.
Great comment, Hatter. David.
Yeah, this is a study in effect, I think, more than anything, for me anyway. AP's talking about the effect that the lighthouse has on whatever it casts its light on, and a light, the lime green meadows, grass fluorescent, tails of cattle to ocean swishing they stand, deep baying echoes in ascent, salt water entwines me with sand, within sand. I really like the way you wrote this, AP. There's one point in here that really stuck out to me. Sparks blink in sandstone foam. There's a place on the Oregon coast, that's what we used to call it, Indian Beach. And if you go down there at night, there's an awful lot of phosphorescence in the surf itself. And it sparkles and glows and stuff. And that's fascinating to see. I don't know how many people have seen it, but I've seen it, and it's eerie, and it's beautiful at the same time. And that's what this kind of reminds me of a little bit. The last stanza, I like the lines here. It says, dark cypress shadow blinding, blink sparks in sandstone foam, dissolves the heat, reminding my guide I'm near home. That's really, really a nice way to end that. I like this a lot, AP. I thought you did a hell of a job on it.
No, thanks, Doug.
Yeah, me too. Let's see. Deb is no longer. So, yeah, very nice. And I think this calls for... What do you call a dog that can do magic?
Good question.
Give up?
Yeah.
What was that again, Linda? What was the question?
What do you call a dog that can do magic?
That does what?
That does magic.
Magic.
Got me.
Labracadabrador.
Ah!
Okay, Dave, I got you up on the board.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay, let me refresh my page here real quick. There we go. All right. The banner picture is a picture of David Gilmour, Pink Floyd. Probably everybody knows that. But anyway, he's my mentor. I have patterned a lot of my guitar playing after him. And he's the master of the Stratocaster. Didn't even know that was going to rhyme. Anyway, as AP says, it sounds a little bit like this. I sing the guitar electric. I'm in good company. Jimi Hendrix, David Gilmour, iconoclastic. My neck is skinny, rosewood or maple, 6 shafts of moonlight run down my back in shades of stainless steel. Electric sex, grinding, filthy, dirty, parked upon my pickup selector switch, rests in phase, out of phase, blowing electric kisses to Jim Marshall's stacks, amplified 1,000 times, voices of the supernova, surging arteries pumping notes life blood into 8 Celestian vintage 30s, voices of the Marshall, voices of the Stratocaster, I sing their guitar electric, ringing feedback in your head, searing thaumaturgical beams, their souls, mercuric nitrate phantoms radiating, 32-note verse, minigun songs in 2-4 time, every good boy does fine, rhymes of the spaces, F-A-C-E, notes on the line, Stratocaster doesn't care, I can play them in Z-flat, Strat, the most worshipped guitar there is, uh-huh, she's smiling at you, Mrs. Stratocaster, my electric mistress. End poem.
That was very cute. Great piece, David. You became one with your instrument, and this piece is finely tuned in your key. This is so poetically musical and very informative, but mostly I love the way you romance your instrument. He makes the reader really believe you are the guitar. Finely tuned piece, David. I couldn't even pick my favorite lines from this. They are all wonderfully written. Really, this was a very clever piece. And with that...
Wow. Thank you, Linda.
AP, would you like to comment?
Yeah, look, I'm very, very fond of Pink Floyd. I'm very, very fond of... Mr. Gilmore and his wonderful guitar work. I even have a favorite concert with a favorite song that they do live to give you an idea of how far I go down into this, Dave. So, you know, the 1984 live version of Run Like Hell. That wonderful string of concerts in London. Is my absolute favorite, and there's a wonderful start to the Run Like Hell where he gets the Stratocaster and he just sort of makes it talk, for want of a better word.
Mm-hmm,
you know, it's talking to him, and then he goes from the talking into the playing of the guitar in like one smooth move. He just goes, he's talking, and then bang, up to the top, down he goes, and he's into the notes of the start of the tune, and it's the most amazing piece of guitar playing. And so, you know, I completely get it, what you're saying about the sense of that guitar just being a wonderful sort of center of music and just a brilliant instrument, and in the hands of somebody like Dave Gilmore, it talks.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the best way I can describe it. And so, yeah, great Tom.
Thank you.
Right on. Rock and roll. Hatter.
Yeah, rock and roll. Yeah. I wonder if Les Paul knew when he built the first electric guitar, if he knew the extraordinary music that was going to be able to be played out of it. Good piece, David, hits on a little of the history of the guitar, the Strat. And who doesn't love Gilmore? My lord, you know, my favorite riff.
Yeah,
my favorite riff, mm-hmm, is Comfortably Numb. The guitar in that is just
brilliant. Oh yeah, yeah, that's one of my faves too, Hatter.
And who knew for 60 years? 60 years.
Yeah.
To give or take a year or two.
Mm-hmm.
That's incredible.
Yeah, it is.
But
and
my
still,
hat goes out to all the...
He's still just as good as he ever was, too. In fact, he's probably better.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Okay.
Man, I think if I ever had a chance to play in that band, that would be the culmination of all my musical endeavors for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
Right on.
Yeah. It would be.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Okay, I thought maybe next we would do a SoundCloud from Frank. Let's see. Let me get his up on the board. How come my computer won't go down there? Here we go.
You need help, Linda?
Okay. No, I'm it's I got it.
Okay.
I'm putting Frank's on the board right now. There we go. And he's got a SoundCloud, so here we go with Frank.
Not long ago, said he at length, and I could have guided you on this route as well as the youngest of my sons, but about 3 years past, there happened to me an event such as never happened to mortal man, or at least such as no man ever survived to tell of. And the 6 hours of deadly terror which I then endured have broken me of body and soul. You suppose me a very old man, but I am not. What I witnessed was a terrible hurricane that overcame out of the blue heavens, for it was a colossal leviathan that had resembled a sea monster of mythology. The ship was caught in the mouth of the emergent vortex of sheer magnitude. The raging tidal waves had swallowed one brother to the depth of the waters, the other by the madness and sank with the haunting image of its descent. The daunted whirlpool that had doomed the fading ship was forever lost in time, in the barrier of the hulks of sunken ships that had lingered as a floating cemetery, and the souls of the dark shadows that roamed the Arctic Ocean up by its glide. With very echoes of the puissant winds blowing like a restless typhoon. For days and nights we stared at the guise of the drifting icebergs of the North Pole, urged by the testimonies and accounts that spoke of the mysteries and treasures men had craved and sought to discover, the wonders of their sartorial mysticism, a few men never lived to tell. The wrath of the supernatural stories of adventures. I was the lone survivor of the hairy nightmare that was the master I dreaded, where secrets were silenced in the cold and frigid moon terrors of lasting legends of sailors who ships had dared before to sail into the maelstrom of the madness engulfed. I, who saw the whirling storm in person, shall say that I saw the devil's wrath.
Wow. Well, that was awesome. This was so well written, Frank. You're poetic language is masterful, and sparks fly all around his reading of this piece. His oration is fantastic, And I myself was almost eaten by a great storm on my vessel, the Obi Minnow, and it's a frightening thing to battle the waves at sea. This brought back deep memories of how fickle the ocean can be and horrific, right, Frank? But, yeah, and the way he wrote this, I didn't spend days and nights in a storm, but I spent a good 24 hours in the worst storm to hit San Diego in 50 years. And I had my two-week-old baby on the boat with me, and the waves were coming over the top of my boat, and the boat was tipping that I could see the bottom of the ocean through the portals. And it was a horrific, horrific night. And this brought back those memories. But he writes so well. I mean, the horror that he ensues in his poetry is just an outrageous thing. I mean, he's like so good at it. So, yeah, I really love this one. Let's get some more comments. David, what did you think?
Oh, yeah, this was good. I read that Edgar Allan Poe thing called The Descent into Maelstrom. That was a fascinating poem, and I really liked it. And then Frank did it justice here. You know, he talks about, you know, sea monsters and terrible hurricanes and all of that stuff, sunken ships and, you know, all of that. You know, this maritime stuff that has to do with the ocean, it's fascinating to me. It's really fun to write a poem and use all of that, you know, all of that maritime mumbo jumbo in with it, you know, all the descriptions and, you know, you know, Frank's a master at you know, putting his thoughts into words and stuff. And it says, whose ships had dared to sail into the maelstrom of the madness engulfed? I saw the whirling storm in person. Shall say that I saw the devil's wrath. Wow, that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. Yeah, he did a good job on it.
Yeah,
I liked it.
Good comment, David. Hatter.
Yeah, I agree with Dave. Yeah, Frank doesn't let us down. When he speaks of the sea, he tends to know what he's talking about, using the right words. We're secrets were silenced in the cold and frigid waters of the lasting legends of sailors. I mean, that's just beautifully pieced together. Yeah, mm-hmm. Got the same feeling of that. We have no idea what the sea meant to our ancestors back in the day.
Yeah.
And to be a young man and want to go to sea, are you kidding me? On those freaking boats, 2 year, 3 year, 4 year voyages, you don't know if you're coming home. Yeah.
Yeah. Really.
Right. AP.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? Because it's only in the last probably 30, 40 years that people have got away from that sort of connection to the sea. I mean, for example, my father, when he came out from London to Australia when he was 14, came out in a boat. And most people did from Europe to Australia. They still came out in boats, not in planes. But, you know, you wouldn't do that these days. So there's that sort of lost sort of lore of the sea and that lost connection with the sea for many people. And sort of Frank picks that up. But he also picks it up with the that sort of sense of fear and that sense of facing one's maker out in the sea in the middle of nowhere as well. And he does a great job of sort of channeling that sort of darkness and that energy that's in that event and just drag you in.
Yeah. Yeah, beautiful. Well, that was a lovely comment. So we thank you all for your input. And next we're going to do Heavenly Angel, and I'm going to read for her. It's called A Poetic Train That Derailed Too Soon by Heavenly Angel. The laughter used to flow like sailboats on the silvery seas, rolling like thunder across a stormy sky. Now the halls of our poetry home reverberate in deafening quiet. Shared thoughts and ideas would spill forth upon the pages of poetic effort in shades of ink sweeter than Tropica mixed with heart and soul. We just clicked, as it were, both hailing from a state where armadillos should have been the official state animal, iguanas sighted in the far west, somewhere the landscape is flatter than a tortilla, and summers are scorchers even in the shade. Windmills can be seen along every other mile. We boarded the collaborative poetry train and rode until the tracks derailed, until we fell by the wayside like acorns falling from a sturdy oak. Oh, but what a ride it was. Words of fireworks, of oasis, of knights and maidens escaped our pins in a landslide of collective ideas. We tried to eclipse ourselves every time we touched pens of parchment, building a pyramid that almost touched the blueberry skies. How I wish the pyramid hadn't crumbled into silt. How I wish the walls of our poetry home could once again be painted in shades of unity, of harmony. I pray that the day will come when we once again board the train to a poetic home redecorated in colors of unison. In poem. Well, I thought that was absolutely beautiful. Great metaphor. I love the train comparison, like a muse vessel at high gear. Her poetic language in this is absolutely beautiful. Oh, but what a ride it was. Words of fireworks, of oasis, of knights and maidens eclipsed our pens in a landslide of collective ideas. Beautifully written. My gosh, I just love this poem. Great writing. She put her heart and soul into this, and I really appreciated that. Thank you for sharing it, Angel, if you're listening out there. Let me get you some more comments. Hatter.
Yeah, this is really imaginative. I mean, just to the idea of the poetic train that derailed too soon. I love the title. Yeah, the train in the countryside, poetic verse, very, very well done. She's a hallmark.
Yeah, well said. AP, what did you think, my darling?
It feels like a poem written to Lost Lindelof. It feels like she's at somebody that she's very close to, been writing to, that is no longer with us. I was just wondering who that was, because clearly they left a huge impression on her, and she's, you're right, using some wonderful similes and some wonderful words to describe it. And I was just wondering who it was.
Yeah, you're right there. David, what did you think?
Well, I agree with AP on this. I too was asking myself who this was for. It sounds like a dedication to this person to me. We boarded a collaborative poetry train and wrote until a track derailed, until we fell by the wayside like acorns falling from a sturdy oak. The comparisons that she makes in here to her feelings are really, really outstanding. You know, she puts things into perspective in a different, kind of a different sort of way, but it's really effective and it works. And I thought this was really well done, really nice. Is beautiful, actually. Of course, most of her stuff is, but this is really outstanding.
Well, I thought I would go next and get it out of the way. This is a piece I wrote for my husband's birthday, which was just on the 3rd of July, and the same one that brought me roses tonight. Just saying. It's called Jerry. Would love ever be for me again from the heart of a man, if it soared across the universe to hence start out in poetic verse? Would love so bestow on me the thrillingness of the sea, where waves and shore doth meet, the song of your love so sweet? Like a sonnet of Shakespearean love, it shines down from heaven above. Like a trillion stars it shines, now your love is mine. Now your love is mine. Your love is my beginning, and you, my precious darling, will be there till the end as my lover and my friend. End poem.
This is very, very well, very well written.
Yeah.
What'd you get roses? What'd you get roses for?
What's that?
What did you get roses for? Anniversary or?
This was for my his birthday.
Oh, okay. Dave, what do you think?
Oh, this was really nice. You know, if we had more poetry like this shared between husbands and wives, there would be far fewer divorces, I think.
You think?
You know, it's nice that, huh?
You think?
Oh,
I
just
said I think.
Yeah, I think. I don't know.
I think so.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, it almost gets to the point where people are afraid to say how they feel about each other. You know, I mean, it's just, you know, if you haven't said it in a long time, it's easier just to keep your mouth shut than it is to be forthcoming about it, you know, and that's, everybody likes to hear what you think, what you think of them, you know, I mean, if it's nice, of course, if it's not, they don't, but, you know, I mean, I just thought this was really a nice, nice thing to write to your husband. It was beautiful.
Well, thank you. Thank you, David. Thank you.
You're welcome.
AP, what did you think?
Well, I think the reason that people don't put themselves out there like this is because they somehow think that it might be embarrassing, or other people might
think
of themselves and they will, you know, not like what they see, and you have to sort of bare your soul a little bit to write like that. And you know, there's not enough bearing of the soul that goes on, Linda. So well done for doing it.
Thank you, AP. Thank you very much. Yeah. So how's everybody doing tonight?
You're in pretty good shape. Pretty good shape, Linda. How about you?
I'm doing well. You know, I'm up and walking now and puttering around my house. Yeah,
yes.
It's kind of neat, taking care of stuff, taking care of Biz, cleaning stuff up and getting stuff organized. And he just got my bedroom put together with my four-poster bed and antique dresser, and it looks great. And I can't wait to sleep in my bed tonight after a year on the couch. Yeah, he says our bed. So yeah, it's a whole new life beginning again, you know. And so I thought we would do another SoundCloud by Laughing Soul. There is it. And here we have it on the board. And let me see, where are we here? So.
The cottage in my heart, upon by laughing souls, nestled amidst ambrosian calves, breeds a scarlet cottage, where cerulean ripples hum a melodia of my unsung verses. Doorway painted in lavender and blue, embellished with poetic chimes, where floweth a lovesome brook, is often where I spend my time. Often I visit this rustic abode, this cottage, a nook in my heart's wilderness, where blossom pink petunias, where cherubs become my lovelorn emptiness. This cottage where come alive my forsaken dreams is a pilgrim away from my unheard screams. Is a pilgrim away from my unheard screams. And boom.
Wow. She's got such a soothing voice. So, my darling, what a clever metaphor. Your cottage is your heart. I just love the piece. The imagery was soft and dreamy, and so quaint was the description of the cottage slash heart. I just love verse 3. Let me see, where is it? Often I visit the rustic abode. This cottage is a nook in my heart's wilderness, where blossom pink petunias, where cherubs become my lovelorn emptiness. Just beautifully written. And once again, she could read anything and it would be beautiful. And she nailed this one. Thank you, soul, my darling. I know you're out there listening somewhere. So thank you very much for sharing. Hatter, what did you think?
Yeah, I remember this. We had the Night of Dreams. I love the way she described the gate as a doorway. It was better the second time around.
Right. Right, good comment. AP, did you think so, darling?
I like how Nolan speaks softly and sort of dances along the words, but the words allow her to dance on them. And what I mean by that is that there's no harsh sort of sets of letters or words together, and so it's a very soft delivery because the words are very softly used, and so nestled and amidst and ambrosian, they all have a sense of sort of softness about how you sound them, and so it's not just what she's saying, it's how she's using the words to say them.
Yeah, excellent comment. David.
Well, I don't want to comment on this because I can't. I'm ignoring her, so she's.
Well,
I couldn't even read it. That's it.
Okay.
Aww.
Okay.
Oh, well. Well, let's see what we got next. Let's go back to the studio and hear a SoundCloud from Phil. Let me get his. Link on the board. Where'd he go? Oh, there he is. Where are you, Phil? Uh-oh. Okay. Boy, this is a lot of work. Okay. We got it right. There, his link is on the board. It should be coming up. Everybody
yes,
got it?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, and here we go.
This is a poem by Phil the Poet called Thundering Thieves, pounding through the wasteland under the cobalt sky. Painted warrior in oxblood and crimson war paint, riding a rust-covered steed with pomegranate eyes, steam rising from nostrils like brimstone smoke. A stampede of thundering hooves kick up the dust, stepping on the eggshell of a daffodil's saffron face, crushed by the silver impression of unlimited rage, while innocent bystanders scatter like tumbleweed. Ash-covered garden of Eden becomes a desert, ravaged by the liver-feeding locusts of biblical times, a golden rod, tomahawk, ready to fall upon an ivory scalp. Smell of iron and pistachio emerge into a risky sunset. End poem.
Wow. That was quite vivid and intense. I love the imagery I got from it with the nostrils breathing the steam coming out and the hose smashing on the ground, and just a really interesting I just love the pounding through the wasteland under cobalt sky, painted warrior in ox blood and crimson war paint, riding a rust-covered steed with pomegranate eyes, steam rising from the nostrils like brimstone smoke. He nailed that. He just nailed that. I can so totally see the huge steed that he's riding, and I think he did an excellent job on this, and I'm going to thank you, Phil, for sharing. It's just a lovely poem. I'm going to get you some comments. Hatter.
Yeah, Phil, when he reads his work, he accentuates it so much than if I was to read it myself. There's a certain desperation
right.
at times in his voice. Yeah, does a good job. Good writer.
Yeah, good comment. AP.
Well, I'm probably going to read something completely wrong into this, Linda, but bear with me.
Okay.
The suffering hooves is quite angry and red and strong, and then it steps on the eggshell of a daffodil's soft saffron face. I can't help but read into that the threat of Russia and the Ukraine and the current environment, but I feel I could be completely wrong, but that's what I'm reading.
Okay. Cool. Good comment. David.
Gee, I think the center stanza stuck out on for me. A stampede of thundering hooves kick up the dust, stepping on the eggshell of a daffodil's saffron face, crushed by the silver impression of unlimited rage. That's pretty wild. While innocent bystanders scatter like tumbleweed. There's something about a horse or a group of them, and they represent a certain amount of beauty and power at the same time, you know. They're just... You know, they're just an amazing animal. They're very sensitive, and they know exactly what's going on around them. And they can tell if you're afraid of them or not when you sit on them, you know. And I really like all of the metaphors and the adjectives that he used in this to put the whole poem together. It's really well done, and you know, I like the way he reads too, just like everybody else does. So,
right,
well
right.
done again, Phil.
Excellent comment. And next, we have Hatter. And it should be on the board now.
Yeah. Yeah, I see it.
Cool. Oh, love the picture.
That's my poet face.
Okay.
It's called Writing Coded Soliloquies. It goes like this. I speak of things I do not know in those places I've never been, writing coded soliloquy and selling little sins. Keeping low and in disguise, no one knows that me is I, fighting crime as I see fit, acting like a hypocrite. Talking down from an upstairs room, dancing with the blood-red moon. Being here with you right now seems to be okay somehow. The eyes will tell what kind of spell would keep me in the dark, selling bags of curiosity, and it appears to fall apart. Walking towards a full outrun to think of things I might have done, never really looking back, wondering where the hell I'm at. I speak of things I do not know and places I've never been, writing coded soliloquies and selling little sins.
Wow.
Yeah, it's
Hatter, you are a genius. You are a genius. And that's why you're one of my all-time favorite poets, because you have such a way with the rhyming word. You just blow me away. And this was so well written. Just every verse was like killer. The eyes will tell what kind of spell would keep me in the dark, selling bags of curiosity as it appears to fall apart. Just beautifully written words. Your imagery is quite lovely, and I just love this. It was like a really cool write. I just love the little tricks and backwards things that you write about, you know, wondering where the hell I'm, never really looking back, wondering where the hell I'm at. You just have just such a way with the pen. I'm blown away. And with that, David.
Thank
you. Oh, this is classic Hatter. You know, he's one of my favorite poets of all times. And he makes everything that he writes sound like come out of a poetry book somehow, you know, but it's still unique. And I really like the honesty in this poem. It says, I speak of things I do not know and those places I've never been, writing coded soliloquies and selling little spins. That's really neat.
Yeah.
And I also like the one, I like the one down here about selling bags of curiosity. That's really a neat idea. As it appears to fall apart, walking towards a full-out run, you think things I might have done. Never really looking back, wondering where the hell I'm at. You know, I can identify with this poem in lots of places. And maybe that's what's so good about Hatter's stuff is he writes about all of us. And I think when we read it, we take a little bit of, you know, stuff for ourselves, because there's little bits and pieces of it that are suitable for us to say, hey, I've been there, I've done that, you know. So really good poem, Hatter. I just thought this was really, really good.
Thank you, Dave.
Nice comment, David.
Well,
yeah, I find it to be quite quirky, and I like that about your stuff, is it's got a quirkiness about it that is just sets it off from everything else. I mean, it's new and fresh and it's a whole new realm. So thank you for sharing it, Hatter. AP.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? Because the words, if you look at the words on their own, they're quite often quite simple words. And the power in Hatter's writing is from the way that he uses those words and creates a sort of personal
insight from those words. And it's the last stanza, and I know he likes it the most because he repeated it, is I speak of things I do not know and places I've never been, and writing coded soliloquies and selling little sins. And really, if you think about it, that's pretty much a summary in about what a writer does. And so, you know, that's what we do. That's what all of us do. And so, you know, right there is a sort of truism for all of us. And I think that's why we can relate to it, because he speaks to all of us.
Thank you, AP.
Right. Well, what do you call a bear with no teeth?
Annoyed.
Gummy bear.
Very good. You got it. Gummy bear. Prize to the man. Yay. Applause. Okay. I know. Why does Han Solo like gum so much?
Oh, I know. It's about Chewie, Chewbacca.
Right, because it's Chewie. Very good. You're good at this, Hatter.
There you go. Hatter's picking them up.
There
right
we
center.
Go. Okay, let's see. What else do we have here? Oh, I know. We have one from Irish Rose, and I guess she needs a, it says she will read, but I don't think she's coming. I guess I can wait on that. Nope, everything's read except for Irish Rose. So, unless you want to hear 20 minutes of me telling stupid jokes, I'll go ahead and read Irish Rose.
Looks to me.
Okay, let me get it out on the board. Is it working? There we go. Okay. There we go. It should be hitting the board right about now.
It is there now.
Okay. This is called Home by Irish Rose. And I see you standing there in my mind, waiting for me as I walk through the door. You're there in the quiet dark and all alone. In the nakedness of the dusky evening sun, we become a thought drifting off as if one to a place where we once lived by the shore. The warm air hangs closely low, curling your hair into the sudden flash of a July streaming storm. Light reflects my unshrouded raw flesh soul. Full of love adore, and bear affectionate joy that flies on those soft beating wings of the wind, smelling of hope, summer apples and home. And now the days are ripe in sun's full bright. We walk through that broad solstice door, taking in the emotional blooming life scene that bears and forgives, that weeps and sings, that dies and yet lives and lives and lives, in bonded memories and faded pains of home, now that spin in time's gray fading shadows. And the winds weep through soft brown asters, bending down in the heart's coveted memories, not of make-believe, to that place we go to when in need, home, in poem. That was beautifully written. Um, This had a great metaphor in it. I just love the whole I think I'm on the wrong poem. Yes, I was reading somebody else's critique, but this was pleasurable to read. She has spun a tapestry of comfort and warmth in a lot of poetic language, and her imagery is of light and the magic we feel when we go home again after long absence. I just love the feeling I got when I read the lines, full of love, adore, and bare affectionate joy that flies on those soft, bearing wings of the wind, smelling of hope, summer apples, and home. This was a fantastic write, Rose. I really enjoyed it. And I'm sorry if you didn't want me to read it, but we didn't have anything else, so I read it. Anyway, David, what did you think?
Oh, I've known Gwen for quite a while now, 2 or 3 years at least, and we have a common interest in, she's a good musician and she plays the acoustic guitar, and I've talked to her a lot about wishing I could play with her, jam with her and stuff, and, you know, when you read this poem that she wrote here, it gives you an insight into what her heart's like and the way she thinks and stuff. And I thought this was a beautiful poem. And, she actually inspired me to put my other poem in for tonight that, you know, I sing the guitar electric because she had this clip of this gentleman down here, Andrew York. And, I know I'm not talking too much about the poem here, but, she's one of my favorite ladies on AP. And, this is really a beautiful, just a right to this, how she feels about people or someone, you know, and, full of love's ardor,
right,
and bare affectionate joy that flies on those soft beating wings of the wind, smelling of hope, summer apples, and home. Yeah, you know, makes you realize how valuable homes are, you know. Beautiful poem, Lynn. Beautiful.
Great comment, David. How about you, Hatter?
Thank you.
Yeah, you don't know how much it means to you until you have no place to call home.
Mm-hmm.
She writes very well. She's as good as a writer as she is an artist. Or Miss Rain.
Oh, boy.
We got you back, yeah.
She is a hell of an artist. I forgot to say that.
Well, yeah, I agree with both of yous. AP, my darling.
Yes. I mean, it's another lovely write, Linda. And the reason for that is because, to me, it's a very personal write. It's a very centered write around the pleasure that one gets from finding a place that you can call home and going back to home. And if you're away from home quite a bit, and I was there for a number of years, there's nothing quite like the feeling of actually getting home. It's just a huge relief and a huge welcome and a huge wonderful thing, and it's so simple.
Yeah. You know, I was wondering why the Frisbee kept getting bigger and bigger. Then it hit me.
That'll do it. That'll do it. You needed one of Sweet's dogs to catch it. That's what you needed.
I needed the Labracadabra doodle.
Yeah, one of them.
Yeah, one of them. The magic dog.
Yeah.
Well, I would like to take this time to thank everybody that came tonight, especially David, Deb, AP, and Hatter, who showed up, Soul, Frank, Musket Man, Kay, and Phil, who sent their SoundClouds, which are always beautiful to listen to. And I think that's it. But I want to thank you all for joining my show. We're a little short on time, so, I mean, we have more time, but no poems. Does anybody have any poems they want to whip out real quick?
Good question. Hatter, have you got one sitting there ready to go? One if you want it, Linda.
Huh.
Linda, did you want me to put one up on the board?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Well, this is my one from last week, Hatter, because I really liked it. So I'm allowed to read it again. Because if I really like it, then you know, I just really like it. And so, a bit like this. Dreams, a dance, a whisper near, they infuse a cloud with ink. Pondering or emu gathered, soon it raced towards skies pink. With the lightness of a feather on red sands bundle among. Tumbleweeds, fences lather, wire lolls as years since drunk. Rains are poised above a ridge, lightning angles are acute. Rumbling to history shatter when divine left switch for loot. Waters pool beyond tidal surges, old man crocodile pretends a tree. Flock of birds left to natter, one soon will be his tea. Brolga on one leg peering through the mists of ocean cruel. Their keening calls captured by whales who nearby pool. Waves, they surge in foam lit above where creatures peer. Night.
Aw, that was beautiful, AP. What a nice poem. Your imagery here was so beautiful. I mean, I could feel the sand and the air and you know, the whole feel about this poem was so lovely. I really, really loved this one. Wow. David, what did you think? David?
Is he still
there? Oh, sorry, I was on mute.
Oh, there you go.
I apologize. Yeah. Yeah, this was really cool. Dreams dance or whisper near, they infuse a cloud with ink, pondering an emu gathers, soon at race towards skies pink. I don't know how you can write like this, AP. I mean, I really admire it, but it's so different from the way I think, but I like it. It's really cool, and it gives me some ideas, and it's inspiring, you know. And, you know, if you can inspire another poet by what you do, then I think you're a success as a writer, you know, and you've certainly done that with just about everybody here, so. That was a beautiful poem. It really was. I liked it a lot. Very well done.
Thank you.
Yeah. Hatter, what did you think?
Tumbleweeds in Australia?
We do, Hatter. We talked about
do you really?
Before. Yeah. Yeah.
Tumbleweeds. That really made me smile. Did you share this before?
Yeah. This was on last week's show. I should explain, Linda and Dave, that I was very unwell with a medical condition, and so I didn't dream for 10 years. And then I changed my medical treatment around and such that 4 years ago, three years ago, I started dreaming again after a 10-year absence. And so when I go to sleep and I dream, it's really quite a sort of vivid event for me because I went 10 years without having a dream.
And I had all sorts of questions about it.
Okay. Well, I brought another one. This is a sneak peek. It's actually, I wrote it for Deb's show last Monday. There wasn't very many people there, but it's called Love Soup, and it goes like this. In the midst of the forest, there was a large stream. On one side I lived, the other a dream. There were lilies and jasmine, all smelling so sweet, and luscious raspberries, a good forest treat. Now over the stream where the daffodils grow is a cool little bridge where the water flows slow. Fuchsias and fern grow all around while clover and moss cover the ground. The beauty that grew was really so great, but under the bridge lived an ogre named Hate. Now Hate had decided the bridge was all his, and why we weren't welcome was none of our biz. So he had a sign that read, all yous keep out, and if yous come near, he would scream and he'd shout. He'd shout, if I catch yous, you'll wish you was dead, because I'll pull your eyes right out of your head. So Hate spent his days spewing his gripe, and some, I recall, believed in his hype. It seemed like the forest was growing quite dark because of that Hate, whose tongue was quite sharp. Then came the day that Hate got real sick. His temperature spiked and his tongue grew quite thick. He coughed all the while and his nose oozed out snot. He had a bad rash and he farted a lot. This made Hate sad and he started to cry. Then he got scared that soon he would die. Now this is the part where the story gets good, where I'll get my dream if I do what I should. So then my heart said, to cure Hate, give him love. So I sat and I prayed to my God up above. Please, dear Lord, won't you give me a sign if the duty to cure Hate is really all mine? And the Lord said to me, child, the duty is yours, but all who are near must open their doors. Let your heart lead and give Hate your love. Then singing rang out from the angels above. So I brought Hate love soup, which he slurped right on down, then gave him some aspirin he took with a frown. Why do you help me? I'm Hate. I am mean. I am the baddest ogre you've ever seen. Well, I have some love that I wanted to give to help you feel better, so better you'll live. And with that, the ogre started to shout, but only the sound of love would come out. So from then on, Hate was taken with love, and so now they both pray to their God up above. The moral, when Hate wills the bridge that leads to your dream, give love a try and conquer your stream. In poem.
Yeah, I remember this. This is so well done. I commented before.
Yeah.
This is a book. This is an illustrated child's book. Right.
I didn't know you'd heard it before, Hatter.
Yeah, me too.
Well, thank you very much. Yeah. Thank you very much. Well, David, you've already heard it. Did you want to say anything?
Yeah, I liked it. It's great. You wove some funny stuff in with it, you know, and a moral to it. So, and your perfection and on your rhyming and meter. So, yeah, it's great. It was nice hearing it again, you know.
Right. I read it to my little brother a little while ago, and he didn't like the accent for the ogre.
Oh, well.
He said, you don't have to do that. I'm like, the ogre's got to have a bad accent. Like, he's a bad guy.
Yeah.
Anyway, AP, what did you think?
Well, look, I think that there are far too few poems that actually go out there to tell a story with a moral in it. And this one does, and as Dave said, it has some humorous sort of bits along the way, as it should, because it's there to sort of keep you trying connected to the poem. It keeps you connected to the poem really well because it's a great story. It's a great set of underlying reasons for the story, and you write it really well. And so I thought it was a really enjoyable piece. But more to that, it had a purpose, and that's a really positive thing.
Thank you, AP. Thank you. Yeah, I have a series of poems I'm writing for a children's book to teach them about the environment and being love and kind and stuff like that.
Yep.
So we'll see how it goes.
Yep.
I need a few more pieces
Absolutely.
To stick in there, but
need some
I wrote
pictures.
Another one, but I can't say it until I read it for Deb's show on Monday night. So
sure.
It's about the environment and... So, anyway, we're 16 minutes short. So
I
if anybody doesn't have
up.
Anything to add, you want to put one up?
I put one up there, Linda. Yeah, I got one up right
okay.
now.
Let me go see.
It's already on the board.
Oh, okay.
It's called Bad Influences.
There we go.
Yep.
Okay, bad influences. I see it. Ooh.
This was an overrun of some of Deb's. I don't know, word bank, I guess you could call it. And so it sounds like this: all the Cadillac schoolgirls fondled those bullet taillights. The gleaming red pearls of lost yesterday's sights, lewd women with tattoos up their spines, schoolgirl Cadillac cruise by some design. She dangles her sweat-stained necktie, strutting her cyanide platform heels along the bar tops of the bad guys, creating those imaginary ordeals. All those men with their tongues hanging out, drooling all over again, all look the same roundabout. Takes any prisoner she wants. Her fishnet dancer's applause. Can't even smile at haunts. Gives humanity no pause. In the Cadillac, she's behind the wheel. She sips schoolgirls' tainted teardrops. These young ladies worship her appeal of her shaking high heel click-clops. Wants no part of any fashion hats. Cuts like a razor right to the point. Then is it any wonder that David Prophet wrote a song about her joint and poem.
Very cute. Very cute. Well, what I got from it is she's a stripper and she's admired by all the young girls, as we always have our favorite dancer. I was a house mother to dancing club and took care of the girls, and I had my favorite dancers and stuff, but this was well written, David. It had some very cute imagery in it, very sharp imagery, and very coolly written, and I liked it a lot. So what did you think, AP?
I'm interested to hear more about you being the house mother of the whole group. I liked it. I mean it did give a sense of that whole sort of world that few of us get a chance to begin, and it gave a sense of somebody trying to get other people's attention, and it seems like it got Dave's pretty well. So, well written.
Yeah.
That SoundCloud that's on the bottom of the poem is one that I, that's a song that I wrote all by myself. It's kind of long. It's called High Heels, and it's a, I just sat down and started playing one time, and I was recording it. And for some reason or other, I don't know. And it came out that way. You know, I'll, maybe I'll put this, maybe you can play it, the you know, the next on your next show, Linda, or something. I don't.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Hatter, did you think, my darling?
Where's he gone?
Oh, did we lose Hatter?
May have.
Oh, we lost Hatter. Yeah, we lost Hatter. Okay. So it's just Dave and AP and me. So, yeah, that poem had the whole feel of that kind of bar scene where there's dancers and always some kind of influence that wants to come in and take over your bar, which I dealt with many different influences of gangs and you know, we had the Crips and just motorcycle gangs and not naming any names and just neighborhood gangs that come in. And I refuse to play down to them. And I had my little thing of spreading love and kindness. And I was in the bar one night and there was like five different factions of gangs. And they were all getting along, all playing nicely, and Mama was very pleased. So it's all how you put your atmosphere, and we kept it, you know,
that's right,
loving and kind. I burned my incense and had my peace signs and you know, and it was just how you spoke to people, that, you know, with respect, and they give you respect back. And that's how we played the game there. And but I had fun taking care of the girls. Yeah. Yeah. And yeah, it was a fun time. And
the neighbors would want you till I got there.
Yeah. So yeah.
Yeah.
That's what it was all about. So anyway, I guess with only 9 minutes left, we can call this game. I want to thank you guys for hanging out until the end. It means a lot to me. And I'm not sure if there's a song we play that goes out or if it does it automatically. AP, do you know?
We just stop. I don't think there's an automatic finish song. So
I just hit end episode.
You can hit stop and it'll stop. Yep.
All right, guys. Love and respect.
Thank you.
Okay, Linda.
Bye, David.
See you, guys. Bye-bye. See you, AP.
Bye-bye.